Hey, this is Jim. Just a quick note before we start the podcast that this episode, like all the episodes this week, was recorded Sunday. That means that the trivia contestant on today was not privy to the information conveyed earlier this week on the podcast. That's important, all right? Just want to make that clear for the record. We don't want to get any kind of quiz show trouble providing answers to contestants. So there you go. Recorded Sunday before any of this week's episodes were posted. All right, on to the show.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
The massively popular Killer Rat series.
All right, it's day four of Rockin' the Suburbs Music Trivia Week. I am your quizmaster, Jim Lenihan.
And I am Patrick Foster. I am your scorekeeper, because I have a pencil, and arbiter, in case there's any ambiguity we need to sort through. I'm going to make that final call.
Patrick is the ultimate judge of what answers qualify as correct. All right?
That is correct, and so far I've been very lenient. Anytime there's any controversy, I'm siding with the contestant here.
All right, so all this week has been music trivia. We are asking five different contestants, one each day, basically the same set of questions. We'll get to all that in just a moment. But first, today's contestant, please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Will Gronick. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. I think I started with you guys when you interviewed Matt Sebastian
Fantastic.
Yeah, long ago.
Yep.
Yeah, Slicing Up Eyeballs and Dark Wave.
Yeah.
That's how I discovered you guys, and I've been listening ever since.
That's awesome.
And you were a participant, too, in the Hootenannies that we did. It was always nice to see
yes,
you drop
by. That was one of the highlights of 2020. There weren't many bad old days.
Yeah.
We tried to put some light into the world.
And you know, one of the things you talk about is the Rock in the Suburbs community. And I got to meet a bunch of really outstanding individuals during that time period as well. And I'd love to see their input on the Facebook and in, you know, when they do the new music reviews and stuff. So, you know, I got to thank you guys both. It's an amazing thing you guys did during that time and helped establish, you know, acquaintances and relationships I have forever.
That's great. That's great to hear.
That's great to hear. Thank you.
And where are you, Will?
I am in Southern California. I live in Irvine. I grew up in Columbus and spent a year in between those two stops. I spent a year in England.
Wow.
Columbus, Ohio?
Yes, sir. Ohio. I'm a Buckeye born and bred.
Got it. Huh. Okay. And now Southern California. All right. Mm-hmm. The weather's a little nicer out there.
Just a bit. Just a bit.
Okay, here we go. We're going to dive right in here. So here's how this works, Will. There will be five categories, five questions each, okay? The categories are decades. So you're going to get questions about music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, okay?
All right.
The five core questions each are the same questions being asked of all the contestants this week, all right? Now, there's one twist. At the end of each category, you have the option to take five bonus questions if you want, okay? This is one time only. Only one category can you choose the five bonus questions. And if you pass on it, you can't go back to a previous decade, all right? So you have to make that decision at the end of each round, all right?
All right.
And we have to, of course, keep you honest here. You promise not to Google any answers, use any AI enhancements, none of that stuff. Okay. Yes, all right.
I promise, yes.
Okay. At the end of the week, whoever got the most points, it's just 1 point per correct answer, whoever got the most points will get to choose something from our prize package and also wins much respect from the community. All right. Will can't hear us right now, but the score to beat is 26. Are you ready, Will Gronick?
We are. Let's go ahead and get this party started.
All right. Here we go. We're going to start with the 1950s. Question number one. What is Little Richard's last name?
Stevens.
The answer is Penniman. P-E-N-N-I-M-A-N, Richard Penniman. That's a hard question. We've only had one person answer that.
So interesting. I thought that was like an easy one. That's why I put it first. Oh, but this just shows you have no idea how people,
I know.
You know.
Yep.
Way to go, Jim.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, all right. All right, here we go. Listen to this one.
Three people out.
Listen to this one carefully. In the song Summertime Blues, what international institution does Eddie Cochran propose to seek help?
United Nations.
That is correct.
Yes,
well
thank
done.
You.
Well,
very good.
I'm singing along in my head.
There I know. I've run the lyrics back. Yep.
I think it's one of the great lyrics of all time.
It's take right, my, so, yeah.
Take my problem to the United Nations. Yes. All right. Okay. Question three. This 1959 Chuck Berry song was later covered by Linda Ronstadt, the MC5, and Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. What is that song?
God, I love Jonathan Richman. So let me think about the Modern Lovers album. Well, I definitely know it's not Pablo Picasso. Roadrunner.
The song is Back in the USA.
Oh,
that's a tricky one,
Back
too.
Back in the USA, which actually was not on that first Modern Lovers album. It was on the next one, right?
It was, yeah.
The one called Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers, yeah.
That
Modern
is Lovers, correct.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I've never listened to that one. I'm going to have to give it a spin later today.
It's definitely different, yeah. It was already starting to change a little bit at that
point.
But
quite good.
Yep.
I'm most familiar with the MC5 version of Back in the USA, so check that one out. Okay. Question four, 1950s. The day the music died was February 3rd, 1959, when Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and the Big Bopper perished in a plane crash. What was the Big Bopper's signature hit song?
I don't know.
Would you like to make a guess?
The only thing I think of is La Bamba, but I don't think that's right.
Close.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
The answer is Chantilly Lace
by
the Big Bopper.
Yeah.
I do know the song, but I would never have gotten that.
Yep. La Bamba was, of course, Ritchie Valens.
Yep. Ritchie Valens, right? Yep. I just couldn't get it.
So good guess. Yeah. Good guess.
Okay. And then the last question here in the 1950s, Take Five by the Dave Brubeck Quartet, first released in 1959, went on to become the biggest selling jazz single of all time. It is famous for its odd time signature. What is that time signature?
Is it 8-5?
8-5. No, that is not correct. The answer is 5-4.
Oh.
That's proved to be
a tricky one. You got five in there, which was the key. Yes. So what do we have there, Patrick?
We have 1 point there. So Will is on the board with one.
50s is tough. 50s is tough.
50s has been by far the toughest category. Nobody has really excelled at that category.
No.
So
would you like I hesitate to ask this. Would you like the five bonus questions for the 50s, or should we move
on? Oh, no.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Right. Yeah. Nobody has taken those on. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Okay, we'll move on to the 1960s. Here we go. All question one. What famous singer wrote the Monkees song, I'm a Believer?
Oh, I know this. It's Neil Diamond.
Bang! Correct. Well done.
You got it. Pulled that one right out of my butt. Yep.
Yep. Well done.
You got it. Very good. Okay.
All right.
Question two. Considered a pioneering female rock musician, who was the drummer for the Velvet Underground throughout their 1960s recording career? Drummer for the Velvet Underground.
Right. I'm going through all the, there's references. I don't know. I can see her, but I don't know her name.
Would you like to guess?
Baba Yaga. No, I honestly have no idea.
The answer is Mo Tucker.
Yep, that was my second guess.
Okay, all right, here we go. Listen to this one all carefully.
Right. Yep.
In the early 60s, a Columbia Records talent scout signed a singer to the label, and for a time at that label, the singer was referred to as Hammond's Folly. Who was that singer? Hammond's Folly, Columbia Records, early 60s.
David Bowie?
David Bowie, no, but that's not a bad guess at all. Bob Dylan. Yep.
Oh. Yep.
Bowie was also signed in the early 60s, so.
Right. Yep. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. No, it's just a funny question that people didn't think Bob Dylan would be a star.
Yeah, it's funny.
Like, yeah.
I can understand why. It's just very, very off the beaten path.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also, Patrick, correct me if I'm wrong here, hasn't he always recorded for Columbia?
He except for one very brief period where he went to Asylum for like two records. He has. Mm-hmm. Yeah, his entire career.
Yeah.
So we're talking like what? Almost... I don't even know. Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah,
almost.
Yeah, yeah. Since 61. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Question four in the 60s. In 1960, Frank Sinatra left Capitol Records and founded his own label. What was the name of that label?
Was it Artista?
Oh, the answer is Reprise Records.
Oh.
But that is a bit. Yeah.
Nope. Yeah, I told you guys I'm not very good at this.
That's okay.
Hopefully everybody else was just as bad as I was.
And then question five, in the 60s, this 1966 Beatles track on the album Revolver is notable as the first in which none of the instruments were played by John, Paul, George, or Ringo. What is that song? None of the instruments played by the actual members of the Beatles.
By the members of the band. I'm going through the album in my head. I'm just going to pull one out of my my tuckus and say Mean Mr. Mustard.
That's a really good guess, too. The correct answer is Eleanor Rigby.
Oh, I don't think I ever knew that.
I didn't know that until we did this quiz. The only instruments on there is a string octet.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. I thought that was a really good question.
Oh, Jim, I'm going to use that at quiz night.
All right, there you go.
You got to. Yeah. Only one person has gotten that right so far. That was a tough one.
All right. So where are we, Patrick?
There was one out of five in the 60s. So the good news is you're still on the board with 2 points after 10 questions.
All right, Will, would you like the bonus questions from the 60s?
No,
he says no.
No, I'm saving it for my sweet spot.
Okay.
All right,
1970s. Let's keep going here. Question one, Eric Clapton's fifth solo album released in 1977 was titled after his nickname. What is that album?
I don't know. Clappy.
The answer is actually Slow Hand, 1977. Oh. Slow Hand.
Yes.
Nice.
Okay. Question two. Also 1977, Linda Ronstadt scored a platinum single with her cover of what Roy Orbison song?
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman is not correct. The answer is Blue Bayou.
Okay. Now, 77 is one of my favorite years of music. Why can't you ask me about television or the Sex Pistols or the first Talking Heads album?
All right. Let's try this one.
Interesting that you brought that up.
This is question three. All right. Question three. Seymour Stein signed punk and new wave groups The Ramones, Talking Heads, and Pretenders to his label in the mid and late 70s. What was the name of that influential record label?
Oh, you guys, I hate you so much. Because I know Marky Moon is on it, and I just don't know the label. You know, I know, I'm just thinking of like the different labels that they would have been on. And you said it's an influential label, so it's got to be something that further down the road there were other artists on. So I'm trying to think through this. I know that's too early for Beggar's Banquet. I'm just going to go ahead and pull that artista out of my butt again.
That's not a bad guess. It really isn't. The correct answer is Sire Records.
I can even see, because I think that wasn't the early Cure stuff on Sire?
Not sure.
It might have been, yeah.
Because I can see the little Sire label down, and yep, I know it. Yeah, I know the label. Yep.
Well, I know the label. Also,
The Replacements were on Sire.
Yes, and okay. The Smiths. English record. That's right. American records were issued on Sire as well.
That's right. Where are we here? Okay, number four. Michael Jackson's first number one solo hit was in 1972 with a song called Ben. Who was Ben?
The only thing I could think of is the bear. A childhood friend.
Oof, that's a good guess. I did not know this until we did this quiz, and I found it to be very kind of disturbing, and Jim will tell you, but Ben was a rat.
Oh.
Yes, he was singing that about a rat. The song was actually the title track in a horror film in 1972.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
About a killer rat.
That's a weird fact.
Okay.
Was the film by the same name, Ben?
Ben.
Yep.
Sequel,
I had no clue.
Sequel to a movie called Willard, which was also about a killer rat.
Yeah, so there the you massively go. Popular killer rat series.
Nice.
'70s.
Well, it's that or the tomatoes. I mean, one or the other. Come on.
Right. Really? Right.
Question five. In the 1970s, radio personality Rick Dees had a novelty song hit in 1977. What was that song?
Disco Duck.
Bang, that is correct.
All right, finally. Good Lord, I was really starting to question my I can wear pants again.
All right, where are we, Patrick?
Well, Will's very consistent. That was a 1 out of 5. So yeah. We've got 3 points on the board.
3 of 15, let me tell you. There is very, very big consistency there.
All right, Will, would you like the 70s bonus questions?
Okay. Absolutely
not. We move on to the 80s. Let's keep going.
All right.
Question one in the 80s, the Dutch band Golden Earring had a U.S. top 40 hit in 1973 with Radar Love, then didn't chart again until 1982 with what song?
Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone is correct. Yep, okay. Nailed it.
Okay, number two.
I thought that was a hard one.
No, everybody's getting that one. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, number two. Although Janet Jackson had recorded two previous solo albums, she did not become a star until teaming up with new producers for her 1986 album Control. Who were those producers?
I know one of them is Jimmy Jam.
That is correct. So we have Jimmy Jam and...
Yeah, I can see the two guys. I mean, I'm gonna say Quincy Jones, but that's not right.
No, that is not correct. No. It's Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
But I did not know Terry Lewis.
Give Will half a point on that.
Okay. Let's see. Can I have 50% on that one?
Yeah, I would think so.
All right. Yeah, okay. All right. Question three. What song includes this lyric? In the midnight hour, I can feel your power.
Like a virgin.
Oh,
by Madonna. So oh no, Like a Prayer by Madonna.
Correct. You got it. We'll give you that.
Ding, 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 ding. I was gonna say
you corrected it before the buzzer went.
Yes.
Up. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You get that one.
All right. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Number four. Sheena Easton had a hit song in 1984 called "Sugar Walls." What other pop star wrote that song under the pseudonym Alexander Nevermind?
Oh, jeez. I, you know what? I'm, I, I know Sheena Easton was linked to Don Johnson, but you couldn't call him a pop star by any stretch of the imagination. Nope. I'm going to have to say Prince.
Correct. Because he wrote for so many other.
Yeah.
You nailed it. Very well done. Well reasoned.
Yeah. And she also performed You Got the Look with him off the off the Sign of the Times album, which is my favorite Prince album.
Oh, is it? Interesting.
Yeah.
Well done.
Okay. Question five in the '80s. The charity single Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid was released in December 1984. Who sings the opening line of that song?
I've got two artists in my mind, and they're probably both wrong, but I'm going to say Bono.
Oh, so close.
Hold on. Wait, Patrick. Okay. I'm gonna really hate myself because it's George Michael, isn't it?
Oh no, it's Paul Young.
Oh,
Paul Young. Only one person got that, and I was surprised they got that.
Now, did they all say the same two artists that I did? No,
but we had Bono as an answer. Yes.
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 Okay.
There was a feeling that Bono had a similar look.
Yes, to Paul very Young. Similar okay. hairstyle yes. to Paul Young mm-hmm. at the time. So.
Paul Young did Every Time You Go Away, right?
That's yes. right. Yep. Yeah, it's a good song. The guy who got it was looking at the video in his mind. He said, so.
"Oh, okay."
But that was a strong round, 3.5 out of 5. So that's well done.
Okay, Jim, here's the part where I have to do some soul searching. So do I take the 85 questions or I take the 95 questions? Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to think, you know, I turned 10 in 1980, so I listened to a lot of radio in the 80s. But then I also really, really did a deep dive into music the late 80s and early 90s. So, I think I'm going to take the 5 questions for the 80s.
Okay.
I'm going to probably regret that later, but let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Bonus question number 1 from the 80s. All right, listen carefully here. The band Sonic Youth in the 1980s recorded for 5 different indie labels. Name one of those labels.
Sire. Because we came up earlier.
Good guess.
That is a good guess, but that is not correct. Yeah.
All right. What are they, Jim? I'm going to hate myself because I've got one in my mind, and as soon as you say it, I'm going to want to just think.
The labels in the 1980s that Sonic Youth recorded for were Neutral, Blast First, Homestead, SST, and Enigma.
Oh, the one that was sticking in my mind was Sub Pop. So.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
So, okay. I don't hate myself as much, just a little self-loathing.
Okay.
All right.
It's kind of bizarre they never did record for Sub Pop.
I know. Now that I think about
that
it.
Yeah, that is.
Okay. Yeah. Bonus question 2. After David Lee Roth left Van Halen in 1985, he formed a backing band for his first solo album and tour that included what guitar virtuoso?
Steve Vai.
That is correct. Good job.
I saw him on the Skyscraper tour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I've never seen him.
Nice, nice. Okay.
I've seen Joe Satriani, but never Steve Vai.
All right. Bonus question number 3. Just after midnight on August 1st, 1981, MTV debuted playing the Buggles' Video Killed the Radio Star. What artist was featured in the second music video played on MTV?
I just read an article about this. Crap, there was a great article about like the first hour of MTV this one's a wild poll. I'm gonna say it's Rod Stewart, and I don't think that's right, but
that is not correct.
I think he was in the first hour though.
You're the second person that guessed that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, Bud Verge had the same thought. It's Pat Benatar.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yep. Yes, it is.
Pat Benatar.
But Rod Stewart was played a lot early on, so that's why.
Yes, he was.
Common guess, yeah.
And I think he was in the first hour. I have to find that article.
I think he was, too, because that's what Bud Verge was saying. Yep, I think he is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bonus question number 4. After the death of Dee Boone, the surviving members of the Minutemen teamed up with Ed Crawford to form Firehose. What was Crawford's stage name?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Jello Biafra.
Oh, I like that.
I like that, though.
I don't
the
know.
The correct answer.
Before you answer, Patrick, this is going to become Will's stage name, by the way. So go ahead.
Okay.
Ed from Ohio.
Oh, so it's going to be Will from Ohio.
Will from Ohio.
From
that's
Ohio.
Right. Yeah. Oh, and you got to spell it all with no spaces, right? Wasn't it from Ohio? Was from one
like one word?
Was all one.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, there you go. Okay. And then the last bonus question here. What is the name of the subgenre that emerged in the late 80s? It's a fusion of hip hop and R&B popularized by artists including Keith Sweat, Rex in Effect, and Bobby Brown.
I was going to say trip hop until you put those names in front of me. Rap. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of.
That's a tough one.
This is a hard one. The answer is New Jack Swing.
Oh.
Yeah. But I think
that's
people
interesting.
Forgot
I
about
wonder
New
if
Jack
the,
Swing.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I wonder if that's where... No, I probably, I'm thinking New Jack. You know, when you say New Jack, I automatically think of the movie New Jack City.
Yes. So,
yeah. Right.
Judd
right.
Nelson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder how many of those artists are actually featured. Cause I, you know, Ice-T did the title track and
yeah, was good question.
Featured throughout, but I wonder how many of those artists were on there and if that had any influence.
It had to have some influence on that. Now they bring that up, but anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go right. quickly through
the 90s.
1990s.
Right?
Where 90s. Are we, Patrick?
Yep. We got a point on the board there. So we're at 7.5 altogether.
Oh. Okay. All right. All right. 1990s. Here we go. What album released in 1992 is the best selling movie soundtrack of all time?
The Titanic.
Oh, that is not correct. The answer is The Bodyguard. The Bodyguard.
Oh.
Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Titanic was the biggest movie,
later,
I believe.
Biggest movie, yep, 90. Yep. I just keep thinking that you couldn't get anywhere without hearing Celine Dion.
That's true. That is true.
That's probably true. Okay, mm-hmm. Question two. What 1999 hit single by Cher is considered the first to use auto-tune to achieve a deliberate vocal effect?
The only thing I could think of is Do You Believe in Love, but I didn't think that was that late. But
nope,
Patrick is shaking his head. Yeah.
You are correct.
Okay.
It is Believe,
yep.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it has that weird...
You're absolutely right, yeah.
Okay.
That is correct.
Question three, on their MTV Unplugged concert, Nirvana was joined by two members of what other band? And they played three of their songs.
I thought you were going to ask me about the man who sold the world, but Pavement. I don't know.
Oh, that's a really good guess.
Nah, the, probably not. Not even close.
Correct
I'm
answer
sure.
is the Meat Puppets. Indie rock. Yep.
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 Mm. Okay.
Right, two more questions.
I forgot
here.
About the man that sold the world. That's a great cover.
Yeah. It really is. All right. Question four. In 1992, Mary Chapin Carpenter scored a hit country single with Passionate Kisses. What alt-country star wrote and originally recorded that song, Passionate Kisses?
The operative word is being alt, but... that's too early for the first name that comes to mind. I don't know. I'm just going to pull a country artist out of the air. I'm going to say it was Johnny Cash, but it wasn't.
It was a little later. Lucinda Williams is the correct answer.
Okay.
Mary Chapin Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Last question. What song includes these lyrics? I'm going to take this itty bitty world by storm and I'm just getting warm.
told you guys I was going to do this in the chat. It's got to be The Replacements. It's not.
Nobody has gotten this question.
No.
Well, correct.
No.
Everybody's missed it. It is LL Cool J. Mama Said Knock You Out.
Oh, as yep. soon as you said that, yeah, I could hear him it. Saying it.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. As soon as you said LL Cool J, you didn't even say the name of the song. Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah. God, I really sucked at this, guys.
Where did we end up here, Patrick?
Okay, so we got a point on the board there for a grand total of 9.5.
9.5.
All right. Yep.
9.5.
All right, well, I'm sad to say, Will, that you are not at the top
of
the leaderboard.
Not even close.
Well, we had one contestant that did incredibly well that I couldn't yes. actually believe that he did so well.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
So our leader after four contestants is Paul Hayden with 26.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I know.
Oh, man. I wasn't even close.
You do get the home version of our game.
That's right.
Very nice.
Yep.
Very nice.
That we're definitely making.
Which is us just pestering you with questions.
That's right.
Guys, this was a lot of fun.
Okay.
I really appreciate
you.
And those were hard questions. I did.
Okay.
I did. It was great.
And just think about this, too. Although Paul may be the leader so far, he has to spend his winters in Chicago.
That's right.
You get to spend your winters in Southern California.
California. That's true.
Yes.
That's a lot
That's
better.
True.
So you're one of life's winners. Okay.
There you go.
All right. Thanks very much, Will Gronick.
Thanks, Will.
Listeners, tune in tomorrow for the conclusion of Music Trivia Week. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you then. By the way, I was cleaning up my basement yesterday, and not a joke, I did find a dead mouse.
Oh, no. They had to get warm somewhere in
the
winter.
Yeah, exactly. It happens. It's a basement. Okay.